Amen. The phrase that stood out to me the most in that song, the holy way is the only way, or the best way. It's the best way for us to live. If we intend to see God, we must intend to be a holy people. We must intend to be pure and undefiled before our God. Amen. We're going to turn back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, reading the same text that we did this morning. I remember once reading about a Christian who worked in the oil fields. And he was testing some of the pipes that oil would eventually flow through with water. And as he was testing the one pipe, all of a sudden a stream of water shot out of one of the pipes that they were testing, revealing a crack that most people had let by. And he thought that God gave him this idea from that. The pressure on the pipes by the water had revealed the crack. The crack was already there. And he felt God impress upon him as well that as Christians, or sometimes not true Christians, as pressure builds up behind, it reveals the weakness in that Christian life. Pressure exposes where our weaknesses are. When trials come, it reveals the quality of your faith, the quality of your walk with God. This morning, we noticed that James was telling us to count it all joy, overcoming our trials, overcoming those things which come towards us. And again, this evening, as we continue, verses 3 and 4, hopefully, I'd like to notice a couple more things that James says that we must do to overcome our trials, overcome those things which are difficult. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Beginning in James chapter 1, let's begin with verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Brother Damon, would you pray for the sermon, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we noticed how James brought to us the idea that we must take an active will, full choice to choose joy as we go through things. And this evening, I would like to focus on chapter 3 there, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing. There's an interesting twist to that I found while studying. In Mark 13, Jesus gives the parable of the fig tree. He's talking about how we'll know that the kingdom of God is coming. His return is coming. And he also mentions the fig tree. So he goes through this list of things. He says there won't be a single stone left unturned, left one on another. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise up against each other. There will be earthquakes and famines. Family will betray one another. People will flee destruction. You should pray that you won't have to flee during the winter. There will be false Christs and prophets that will rise up. And on the warnings will go. And he says, you'll know this is the beginning. In verse 28, he tells them, just as you watch the fig tree and the tender buds begin to develop, and you know that summer is near, when these things begin to happen, you will know that the return of Christ, the coming of the Lord, is near. You'll know that this is to happen. And I think that James is implying this same sort of thought as he comes from verse 2. There weren't really separations like this, but as he brings these thoughts together from verse 2 and he's entering into verse 3, he says, knowing this, when your trials come, you can look forward and know. Just as you can know that the return of Christ is coming, you can know that patience is coming. Patience is coming. The writer of Hebrews, we talked about this morning, discussed or brought out that the Savior went to the cross knowing the joy that was set before Him. There's a difference, Christians. There's a difference between knowing the outcome of our trials and knowing the results that will come from those trials. None of us know the future. None of us know how anything will turn out. We can look at what's happening today. We have no clue what tomorrow will hold. In fact, James says in chapter 4, verse 14, "Ye know not what tomorrow will hold." And don't even try to plan. Say, if the Lord wills. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. But we can know the results of what today can bring about. There's a strong parallel there between our text this evening and 1 Peter. 1 Peter, he describes the reality of what it's like to be a believer. To be a believer, and he talks about that, and then he talks about going through trials. And then in verse 7, 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ." He's telling them that the test of their faith will bring it. Test it, but it will bring about glory to God. The end result of gold being refined is it being purified. In the same way, our faith is purified. Proverbs 17 verse 3 reminds us this: "The fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth hearts." A pure ounce of silver is worth over $20. A pure ounce of gold is worth over $1,500. They've put it through the fire and it's worth a lot. But oh, the value of a Christian when they come through those difficult times. The Lord trieth them. And the Christian is so much more valuable when they come through the fire and they come through the flood. And then James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What does that trying bring about? Patience. He's not talking about patience in a passive sense of the word. Just lying down and whatever comes, comes. There's something more here. Patience that makes us into better, more faithful Christians. Patience that builds us up as Christians. We can rest in the certainty that God will help us through everything. On three occasions, the Apostle Paul went to God, the Lord, and asked Him for his persecution to be taken from him. A thorn in the flesh, and it wasn't taken away from him. What did Paul learn from that trial? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, God gives Paul an answer to his prayers. He says this: "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul's response to what the Lord says is this: most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. I may be weak, I may be nothing because of the trials and the things that have pressed in on me, but I would rather be nothing and go through all of this stuff that God's glory may be seen. One commentator said this: the weaker the human instrument, the more clearly God's grace shines forth. Oh, it's beautiful, the gold that comes out on the other side. When you're going through trials, you can overcome them. You can be the victor over them, knowing that there's patience that's being built. I think of it this way: a prospector going and getting some of his ores sampled, and they find out that there are precious metals in that sample. That ore has been tested. And it's real. You know what is more important there than anything? The knowledge that he has that it's real. And when your faith is tested, you have the knowledge that it's real. Trials can benefit us, not ruin us. And then in verse 4, he says, but let patience have her perfect work. That's a complete surrender of our will to God. Let patience, after it's been developed through the test of trials, let it, her have her perfect work in your life. Complete surrender brings about Christian maturity, Christian perfection. The problem is this: there are many times that we don't let that happen. We stop it short. James says, but let. He says, count, know, and let. It's hard sometimes to let persecution and trials happen. One commentator said this: it is possible to short circuit the process and thus not develop properly and live through suffering in vain. Think about the leg that has been placed into a cast. I'm preaching at my wife right now. And that leg is supposed to, the pressure is supposed to be taken off of it, okay? But there are some people that will wear a hole in the bottom of that cast before it's even taken off. They're not willing to go through that process. And as a result, they can weaken the healing that's taking place there. It would be a complete disaster to disrupt the process of a healing leg, and it would be a complete disaster for a Christian to go against the will of God for their life and disrupt the process that God is shaping them to be. God is shaping each of us. Warren Wiersbe said, if we try to go through trials without surrendering our wills, we will end up more like immature children than mature adults. I think there's a problem there. Jonah is a prime example. In the first chapter of Jonah, he's told to go to the city, a Gentile city, and preach the judgment of God. But instead of doing that, he turns the first two verses and he turns away from what God has told him and he flees. And God chastens Jonah. He's thrown into the belly of a fish. And Jonah prays. And then the fish spits him out. And Jonah has been chastened. He's been brought through a trial. I've never been in the belly of a fish, but that would be a trial. He's chastened. So he then in chapter 3 goes on to obey God and preaches in Nineveh. But you'll see that it didn't do him too much good to be in the belly of the fish. Jonah did not allow God to bring him to the maturity. He was going through a process. God was bringing him to the point where he would go to preach willfully to these people that needed to hear the preaching. But he did not reach the point that God had for him. Jonah, in the last 11 verses of the book, he's angry that God didn't destroy them. He didn't learn what God had for him through the storm and through the belly of the fish. He stopped it short. There was once a missionary in China in the mid-1900s, and he wrote about some of the trouble that they were facing with communism and everything. And he wrote this: "These trials of faith are to give us patience. For patience can only be worked as faith goes into the pressure chamber. To pull out because the pressure is laid on and to start fretting would be to lose all the good he has in it for us." He and his wife and their children or child were held 2 years under house arrest in a communist nation. They went through the trial. But he knew that sticking through it would allow that maturity to develop in his life and in his children's life. Christian maturity doesn't just come by knowledge. It comes by experience as well. Sometimes we go through things and we don't understand them, but James says this: "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, wanting in nothing." There is no better way for a Christian to become mature than for them to surrender their will before God and allow Him to mold them and make them. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, wanting nothing." Let us stand. Father, we thank you once again for your word and the way that it speaks into our lives. Oftentimes as we go through things that are difficult, can be hard for us to understand. But as the song says, as we sang it tonight, "I don't know what tomorrow may hold, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And I'm holding on to your hand." Father, we pray that you would help us to grow and mature and not short circuit or shortcut any of the things that you would have. Help us to hand our lives and our will into your hands, that we may grow and become mature believers with faith that is strong and true, we pray. Father, we pray that you would bless each and every one that is gathered here this evening as we go our separate ways, that we would be a light in this world, that we would share your word and your gospel, your good news to those whom we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.